Okay, Shalom Rabbeisai. We are in Chavis Halavavis, Shal Yichud HaMaisa, Perek Hey. We're still in the middle of studying his extensive discussion of the various assaults of the Yetzer Hara, the various assaults to beware of. So now he told us to beware of the assault of your own Chochmah. Your own Chochmah, meaning what? The Yetzer Hara of figuring things out for yourself rather than relying on the tradition handed down to us. Person decides he's going to reinvent the wheel. He's going to go back to the Psukim, the Torah Shemiksav. He's going to figure it out all out himself. Some things sound tenuous to us. Some interpretations sound tenuous to us. We are perfectly capable of understanding Pshuto Shemikra by ourselves. And this person goes to reinvent the wheel. So he says you have to realize that Chochmah, your intellect, can be something that can get you into deep trouble. So he says, well, again, repeat this little piece. We are in the Neymar, the paragraph begins. But if you're without a sefer, you'll be okay. Alken Yizoher. He says, be careful. If you want to give it to me, Rabbi Shmuel, I'll try to find it for you. Alken Yizoher. Therefore, beware. Beware. Shalaitita ashulcha miderech ha'avos, that your steps do not stray from the path of our forefathers, and the sivar yishanim, from the path of our predecessors, el habdiyos, to innovations, contrivances. V'tismaych al sichlecha, you'll rely heavily on your own seichel. You'll decide, you might go off on a path, it's just you, but you figure, hey, I've thought about it, this is what it seems to me. So, he says, beware of doing that. Wouldn't it be a shame to figure things out for yourself? And then, let's say, I'll just give it, this is a better case, 15 years down the line, you actually have the very strange experience of encountering someone who's a step ahead of you intellectually, right? Well, he's actually a bit wiser than you. And you discuss it with him, and he actually shows you where your thinking was flawed, and you suddenly chop, the last 15 years, I've been operating with flawed thinking. That's the better case. Worst case is that a person has a whole philosophy, a whole way of thinking that he operates with until he discovers it after 120.
This is
both. Al tachshod avaysecha b'mashimachu lecha masu lecha me'oifanei tovaysecha. Do not suspect your forefathers of transmitting to you what they transmitted to you, and they said, this is what's good for you. Don't suspect them. Val tisto ratzosam b'mashimachu lecha. Do not go against the advice and the guidance that they provided you with. You're not going to come up with any ideas. You're not going to come up with any thoughts that they already thought of. Okay, just meanwhile, I want to just elaborate on this a little bit. But the perspective of the Khazari is, this is more specifically going to get to the tradition of Teresh Shabbat Peh, to the drushes of Chazal, etc. The Khazari has his discussion where he's kind of like debating the Karaite system. You go back to the Psukim and you figure it out yourself. So Khazari says, you have to appreciate the origin of our Teresh Shabbat Peh. He says, understand, this is not just a religious leap of faith. He said, he goes through the history, and it's rather amazing. As the Torah was given over at Sinai, Psukim, anybody can approach them and try to figure them out for himself. And what happened then? What happened then? The Jews were then in the Midbar for 40 years with nothing to do other than learn Torah. Avigdor Melo used to say that the 40 years in the Midbar was the greatest koilel in our history. All of Klal Yisrael have to appreciate the uniqueness of this tkufa. We think of the Midbar, the Torah Midbar, as just a problematic tkufa with troublemakers. That has to be put into the right perspective. But what this dar was, it was a dar. There was never anything like it again in history. Where you had all of Klal Yisrael concentrated in a small area. Even in the best of days, they were spread around Eretz Yisrael. Right? All of Yisrael concentrated in a small area, all within walking distance. Right? What was the machana again? Was it 12 mil, right? It's 24,000 amos. Is that what it is? 24,000 amos. How long does it take to walk 24,000 amos? Not very long. All of Klal Yisrael concentrated into one place, all dedicated. They had no material concerns. The parnasa was taken care of. And they were sitting and learning. That's what was going on for the 40 years in the Midbar. It was an intense, massive kailo with all of Klal Yisrael in one place. What's that?
How did they do that without swan?
So the Gemara in a few places describes the process of Moshe giving it to the Aaron. Right. It was transmitted orally. Now, let's appreciate another very unique element of this tkufa. This is all done for the purpose of that when Klal Yisrael enter Eretz Yisrael, they're not entering with the theoretical Torah, but they're entering with a Torah that has already been completely processed and ready to be implemented. So, another very... That's true. Avigdor Miller said something which is regarded as a chiddush, but he said that actually the intent was that they shouldn't rush into Eretz Yisrael. It came about through the chet of the Meraglim for the lessons to be learned from it. We have to appreciate the benefit of that tkufa. Now, there was something else very unique about that tkufa. During that tkufa, Hashem was available in the Beis Medrash for questions. That changed. Right? Once the heathen came to Eretz Yisrael, the cloud kicked in of Lo Bashamayim. Right? Yeshua had a question, took it to Hashem. Hashem said, at this point, you have to resolve it through the processes of resolving questions, Sanhedrin, etc. But at that point, questions which couldn't be resolved were brought to Moshe, brought it to Hashem, and Hashem provided the answer. This was another very unique aspect of this Kufan history. Now, what went on? Throughout those 40 years, you had 600,000 strong sitting, intensely toiling over Torah. Every last crumb was processed, analyzed, broken down. Questions were asked. Ambiguities were clarified. You just think about the immensity of it, right? 40 years, 600,000 people sitting and applying themselves intensely. Briefly, yes.
The Tanaim, it says the Tanaim were the ones who used the meters, the 13 meters, in order to darshan out the Tzuki.
The Torah was being kept before that too. The Torah was being kept before that also. They were working with Kabbalists that they already had. Now, so appreciate that tkufa. Appreciate that tkufa. It would be very difficult to come up with an insight if you just think about it practically, that they didn't come up with it, right? And so by the time they came to Eretz Yisrael, they weren't dealing with the Torah that had just come down in Hashemayim. They were dealing with the Torah that had been immensely broken down and processed and worked through, right? And clarified. They were coming in with a major Torah Shebaal Peh, right? Volumes and volumes of commentary, which was worked through at that time, right? Then they came into Eretz Yisrael, and at this point it kicked in the cloud of Lei Bashamayim. Cloud of Lei Bashamayim, he kicked in. Why did it kick in? You have to appreciate that too. Because from this point on, Hashem does not want a possibility of some seer, some a cult leader, prophet, right? comes and says, Rabbi Isai, I have a new message. In kaze davar from now on. A Navi comes with a nevuah, bring a proof from a Tosfos. Right? Prove it. That's how it works from now on. This ensures that the Torah will retain its purity. Because, right? Rabbi Eliezer comes with Rayas Men HaShemayim. The Chachamim say, does it stand up to Talmudic analysis? Submit it to the Chachamim. Put it through the process. It doesn't stand up. Loi bat shamayim. This was all done for the purpose of protecting the integrity, the purity of Torah. Nobody can come along. You have to take it up to the top body of Chachamim. They approve it. Now, how did that work? Think about that also. Questions were resolved by the Sanhedrin, right? Torah says questions have to be resolved by the Sanhedrin. So appreciate that also. What was the Sanhedrin? The Sanhedrin was the top of the pyramid, right? How did it work? You know how the Sanhedrin worked. There were 71 members, right? And then there were three rows of 71 of the people who were next in line. These people were selected from the top Chachamim all around Eretz Yisrael. So Lishkas HaGazis was the top of the pyramid. It's the top of the pyramid, right? Questions were submitted to them when they could not be resolved by the local Batei Din, right? When a question was put to them, so again, this is not talking about a leap of faith here. We're talking about the 71 people who are acknowledged as the greatest Chachamim of Klal Yisrael, right? 71 Reb Moshe Feinsteins are sitting and processing and analyzing it together and debating it. What are the odds of them making a mistake? I'm not talking religious now, okay? I'm not talking frum. I'm talking, think about the reality. What are the odds of them making a mistake? The theoretical possibility existed, right? The Torah addresses that. But they understand why the Torah says mitzvah lishmaya. It's talking about that. It's talking about Sanhedrin in the Lishkas HaGazis. If they decided it was smile, and you say, hey, I know what you mean. 1 minute. We're talking about 71 of the greatest minds of Klal Yisrael who debated it intensely. If you think it's clear that it's him, you go ask them. There's something there, right? There's something there. Again, we're talking Seichel Yosher now. We're not talking being from. We're not talking a leap of faith. Then the Kuzari adds to that. Take into account also where the Lishkas HaGazis was. Says they were right off the Azara. They were drawing from the Ruchnius that was emanating forth from the Beis HaMikdash. So in addition to the whole process we described, we're also talking about a system of the greatest Seata D'Shmaya that could be. That's why they were situated there. So when somebody comes and says, that drasha sounds tenuous to me. You know what? Get together 71 Koyel people, successful Koyel people. Sit down before you draw your own conclusions. That's the first step, right? And then you are starting to get me'ing, what was behind that drasha. So therefore, yeah, again, the Kuzari is coming and telling us, do me a taiva. Trust those who handed the Torah down to you. Don't come and say, well, that sounds like a stretch to me. That sounds like a stretch to me. And now he adds. When it comes to, I'm trying to think of a good example of this. Well, let's say a person thinks of a good initiative. I'm a little theoretical here, but the point is very profound. I just don't have a good example right now. Let's say a person thinks of a good initiative. Seems like it would benefit Klal Yisrael, right? But the Chachamim of the previous generation already said no. Now, you know the way it works. These people are stuck in archaic ways of thinking. They're not open to, you know, relating to reality, etc. This is something that can be so great. The Chacham of the previous generation nixed it. Of course they nix it. They nix everything with instinctively, right? So he says, appreciate that, see, maybe tomorrow we could think of an actual example. That in Eitzah Shetale B'dat Choshele Kadmucha L'data, you're not going to come up with Eitzahs that they didn't already come up with. Meaning, he's not saying that there might not be something relevant to our time, right? Sarah Schneer came up with an Eitzah, right? What'd she do? She submitted it to the Chachmei Yisrael, give their approval. There is such a thing as coming up with the tzerech hasha'ah. But the point is that you have to appreciate that even if you come up with something that seems like a good idea, whenever you're talking about an initiative, you might not appreciate what its effects and consequences could be a bit further down the road, what ripple effects it could cause. That was a little bit of a different point. There it was what his kavana was. But that's a good example of the concept. So, after shekadam ledat choifen yishra machshav ahi betchilasa, he said, you might think it's such a great idea. Why would anybody oppose it? Now, there's such a great idea, Shaboy. It didn't go over their heads. This, you might see the immediate benefit that results from it. But you may not have actually thought of, envisioned the effects and the effects of the effects, and that actually negative results can sprout from it. But they did. You, because of your limited extent of thinking, you see the good idea, but you don't see where it can go wrong and what problems it can lead to. And this is very much behind, I'll just say in a general way, this is something that also deserves elaboration. But you know the concept, HaChadosh Asur Min HaTorah, right, that the Chassam Sofer coined. What happened all of a sudden then, right? Up till that point in history, this turned into almost an ideological opposition. I should say resistance, more accurately. An ideological resistance to any new innovations. Makara. Why? But as foreign winds started settling in, the Chassam Sofer came to realize that this is something that was recognized and played out many times as the days progressed, that at this point in history, change is to be viewed as something dangerous, novelty is to be viewed as something dangerous, because in very, very many cases, it'll quickly lead, you know, to all kinds of other things making their way in that you didn't think of in the first place. It really deserves more elaboration and examples. But we'll stop here for tonight. Come to you.